chapter 4 of the Song of Songs. The Song of Solomon is a very wonderful and quite mystical book. Now, many people in reading it see nothing more than an oriental erotic love song. And indeed, it is very romantic and could be taken as somewhat erotic. The Orthodox Jews did not allow their men to read this book until they were 30 years of age or older. Such turn-on phrases like, "Your belly is like a heap of wheat," "and your nose is like the Tower of Lebanon that faces towards the north." Now, in our culture, to us, we might not classify that as particularly erotic, but in that culture, those sayings were extremely romantic, and we'll explain why when we get there on Wednesday night. But in reality, it is much more than simply an oriental love song, more than a romantic piece of literature. For it deals with the issue of marriage, and that is particularly marriage between Jesus Christ, our King, and us, His bride. And when it is read and studied in that context, it can be tremendously impacting and very, very encouraging. We are married to Jesus Christ. We are His bride. Perhaps you're sitting here today and your marriage is not the best. Well, let me tell you something. That marriage that you're in right now won't last. That is, Jesus Christ is the one that you are going to be living with ultimately and throughout eternity. On a game show recently, one of the contestants was asked this question. If a wedding means showers to the bride, what does a wedding mean to the groom? And the guy pressed his button and said, "Curtains." I heard one counselor tell me that he was talking to a couple, and this man said, "My wife and I were extremely happy for 20 years. The counselor said, "Well, what happened then?" He said, "Well, then we met." And some people view their marriages as less than the best, something which is strenuous and difficult. If you are in a case today where you say, "Man, my marriage is not what I thought it would be or know it could be," know this. Your marriage here is temporary, and it's simply preparatory. It's preparing you and tempering you and training you for the ultimate marriage, that mystery that Paul speaks of in Ephesians 5, that is, your being linked to and loved by and living with Jesus Christ forever and ever. And that's glorious. And that's what this book is really about. This book is painting a picture and pointing us towards our love relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, in chapter 4, beginning in verse 12, the king, that is the bridegroom, is speaking to his bride, and listen how he talks about her. He says, "A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits. Campfire, spikenard, spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon with all trees of frankincense. Myrrh and aloes with all chief spices. A fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, streams from Lebanon." And here the king likens his bride to a garden. A lovely garden, an enclosed garden. In that day, every king outside of his palace had a private garden that was very well tended and constantly enjoyed by the king in the cool of the afternoon, in the early part of the evening, and also in the break of morning. And here this king, a type of Jesus Christ, looks at his bride representing us and says, "You're a garden to me." Something sweet and precious and beautiful and enjoyable. Now I have a tendency to look at me and say, "A garden? Lord, I could see if you said I'm a parking lot or a city slum or even a county dump. But Lord, me? You're calling me a garden?" Gang, listen. Yes, you are His lovely garden. In chapter 1, this maiden looks at herself and says, "I am black, but comely." And she explains that she had been out in the sun, and so she had gained quite a tan. In that culture, if you were tan, you were out. And she realizes her blackness. She realizes her inadequacy, if you would. And yet she says, "I'm comely." Why? Because she was loved by the king. I realize I too am black. I'm a sinner. All kinds of problems, all kinds of weaknesses. But you can say here today, and I can say here today, "I am black, but I am comely." Because Jesus Christ has brought me into His loving heart and life. And He has chosen me as His personal garden. Why, I don't know. That's a great mystery to me. But He looks at me and says, "John, you are my garden. Saffron and cinnamon. Myrrh and pleasant, sweet spices. You are my garden." And you know what cracks me up? What tickles my heart? What makes me smile when I read to this book? Never once does the king say to his maiden, "You're lovely, but maybe you should think about changing your hairstyle. You're lovely, but could you lose a few pounds? You're lovely, but I don't really like the length of your nose." He never says that. The king, in every chapter, read it, it will bless you, keeps affirming his maiden. Gang, listen. Jesus does not look at you and say, "Well, I love you, but..." "I'll love you if..." "I'll love you when..." He looks at you and he looks at me and says, "I am in love with you." When you read this literature, when you read this song, it's Jesus speaking to you personally. He's not saying, "I'll love you if you get it together or if you try and do better." He says, "I'm in love with you." Folks, listen. Most of us believe that Jesus loves us generically. He has to. After all, He's Jesus and He loves everybody. That's not the message of this book. The message of this book is, "I love you individually and I am in love with you radically. I'm in love with you." Oh, that we might see ourselves that way. We might see ourselves in Christ Jesus, washed by His blood, sanctified by His Spirit, loved, really loved by Him. There was an article in the paper, perhaps you saw it, in Rochester a couple of weeks ago, a retired army sergeant fatally shot a 70-year-old woman as she left Mother's Day services. He admitted that he mistook this woman for his estranged wife because he forgot his glasses, authorities said. "I'm sorry about the other woman. I meant to kill my wife," Percy Washington told police, "but I forgot my glasses." Because he forgot his glasses, he didn't see the woman accurately, and he ended up murdering her, slaughtering her tragically. Folks, sometimes I forget my glasses. And I look at that individual and I say, oh, they're out of it. She's out of it. He's out of it. Or I look at me and say, I'm out of it. But it's because I'm not seeing things accurately. The Bible says that you are the righteousness of God because you are in Christ Jesus. You are righteous because you are in Christ Jesus. Now, when I see that, I'm not going to shoot you indiscriminately, or I'm not going to commit spiritual suicide on me personally. I'm not going to say, oh, I'm out of it, or oh, you're out of it. But when I look through the glasses of Scripture, I see what Jesus Christ did on Calvary's cross. And he took all the sin and junk that I've committed, that you've done as well, and he paid for it. And now he says, your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And he says, you're absolutely lovely. You're a precious garden to me, Johnny. You're a precious garden to me. Perry, you're a precious garden to Jesus Christ. Phil, he looks at you and he loves you and he's delighted in you. Incredible. Absolutely wonderful. That Dave, he would see you as his garden. That's what the king is saying. Now, notice as we move along, he likens her to a fragrant, wonderful, refreshing garden. She responds in verse 16 by saying, oh, awake, O north wind, and come, thou south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. She is so blessed that he likens her to a garden. She invites the wind to blow through her life and says, blow through me, that the spices might be released from me. The wind of adversity. The north wind was a cold wind. The south wind, you can relate to this, was a hot, arid, dry wind. And she is saying, wind, blow through my life. Times of coldness or fiery trials, whatever it takes to release the fragrance of what Jesus is doing in me and what Jesus has done for me. Blow, wind, that the spices may go out. Listen, gang, you are a garden, yes. But how can the sweetness of Jesus come from you? In the fiery trials and troubles that you go through. That's when the people that you work with and live by and are linked to, when they can really see Jesus in you, is not when you're prospering and cruising, but when you go through a terrible trial, a real ordeal. When that south wind, those hot times, those difficult days, those seasons of struggle, those times of tribulation blow through your life, it releases a fragrance and people suddenly say, how do you navigate that? How do you handle that? What is that coming out of your life? And you say, Jesus Christ. It's only because of Him and by His grace that I'm not collapsing, that I'm not caving in under the pressure. And His fragrance emanates from you in the time of the south wind. In the time of the north wind, those times when you feel cold, you just don't feel the intense love for Jesus that you would like to or that you once did. The feelings aren't there. Folks, let me tell you something. Just because the feelings aren't there does not mean that the Lord has forsaken you. He allows you to go through seasons of coldness where you don't feel His touch, because He's giving you the opportunity to learn to live by faith and not by feelings, because feelings, gang, are oh so fickle. They're affected by what you eat at Bob's Big Boy the night before. They're affected by what people say to you when you go into the office or cruise through class. Feelings go up and down. And here your Lord is saying, I want you to learn to walk instability. Therefore, I'm going to allow you to go through a time where you don't feel me. Here's what I have found. It's a real important truth. When I don't feel the Lord's presence, I have learned to really rejoice and say, great. Lord, I can worship you today without getting back more than I've given out, which is usually the case. I can truly just give to you because I don't feel your presence today, Lord. You've chosen to allow the north wind to blow. So, Lord, today, this week, this month, folks, I've gone through months where I haven't felt that warm presence of the Lord. I then say I have opportunity now, Lord, to worship you and to love on you without getting anything back, so to speak. And it's a tremendous privilege. And I actually embrace those times and look forward to those times when I can say, Lord, I can just give. Because so often when I give to you, I end up getting so much more back that my motives begin to get kind of weird. I give so that I will get back, and that's not true love. Lord, I get to love you now just sacrificially, unconditionally, truly give to you, Lord. Hey, today, if you're sitting here saying, I'm going through a cold spell, the north wind is blowing, rejoice. You have opportunity to really minister to Jesus. Just give and give and give, regardless of your feeling. Well, that's what she's saying. Oh, she's saying, oh, I'm so delighted you look at me as a garden. Winds, north wind of coldness, south wind of fiery trial and difficulty blow through my life that the fragrance might come forth, that people might smell Jesus in me and see the reality of the Lord through me, that people might smell Jesus in me. And see the reality of the Lord through me. And then she goes on to say, let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. Not only wind of adversity, wind of difficulty blow through my life, but you, Lord, come and eat. Folks, could I ask you to circle that verse or make a note of it in your Bible? She says the key to life in this phrase. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. Who is it that does anything good within us? Who produces fruit for our lives? It's Jesus. But why does he produce those fruits? Listen. For his enjoyment. You exist to bring him pleasure. Come into my garden, she says, and eat of your pleasant fruits. That's what she tells him. And so we say, Lord, come into my garden, my life. I exist not to buy a Lamborghini. I exist not to get a better house in the country. I exist not to play softball in the city league. I exist, Lord, to bring you pleasure. Listen, when you bring him pleasure, you are fulfilling the reason for your existence. In Matthew 21, Jesus walked by a fig tree. A lot of leaves, but no fruit. And Jesus was hungry and he reached to pick from that tree but found no pleasant fruit. The tree looked healthy but there was no fruit for Jesus specifically and Jesus cursed that tree. You know the story. The roots withered up. The next day when the disciples walked by, they asked a question concerning that dead tree. They were amazed by it. Why did Jesus do it? Listen, tune in. Jesus was showing us that a tree that does not please him will never be of any value to anyone else, including itself. Jesus said to that tree, "Let no man eat from thee henceforth." If your tree, your garden, your life, precious people, is not existing to please your Lord and your Creator, no matter how healthy you might seem outwardly, you're a cursed individual spiritually. And you'll bring satisfaction to no one else nor to yourself. You'll dry up from the roots. You'll disappear off the scene with a meaningless existence. Jesus wasn't being cruel when he cursed the tree. He was trying to show us something. If your life is not satisfying him, it'll be no good to anyone else. Not even to yourself. All things were created by him and for him, Colossians 1 declares. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created, Revelation 4 declares. Oh, folks, don't you know? Sunday, July 12th. We exist today to bring him pleasure. Ever wonder why Sundays are so special for so many of us? Because we're pleasing the Lord. Make every day a Sunday. Make every day with that primary intent. Lord, I want to delight you with praise. I want to delight you with worship. I want to talk with you and walk with you, enjoy you, and receive that love. You tell me in your word you're in love with me. Lord, I embrace it by faith. I receive it. I put the glasses of Scripture on, and I see myself rightly and my brothers and sisters as well, that you are in love with me, in love with us. Jesus, that's wonderful. I'm going to enjoy it. Lord, I'm going to live for you today, just enjoying you. That's what she said. One more verse, and then we're done. Verse 1 of chapter 5. He then responds, "Oh, I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk." When she invites him to come in, to enjoy that garden which he has cultivated in her, he says, "I've come. I've eaten. I've drunk from your garden, eaten from your fruit. I've enjoyed you." But notice this next phrase. He says, "Eat, O friends," plural. "Drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved." Saints, listen to the heart of Jesus. We sing, "Lord, come into my garden. Lord, today, just you and me. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And the voice I hear that brings to me good cheer, the voice of Jesus calling. And he walks with me and talks with me and tells me I am his own." And so forth and so on as the old song goes. Come to the garden alone. But you know what Jesus does? He comes in when you say, "Lord, I'm your garden. Enjoy the fruit of your working in my life." And he says, "I have come." And he says, "Eat, O friends." And he brings a bunch of other people in with him. And we go, "Wait now, Lord. Who invited them? I said, you and me, Lord. You can enjoy my garden, but these people are tromping on my vegetables, picking my fruits, wiping me out, Lord. Get rid of these people. It's just me and you in the garden." Lord doesn't come alone. He brings people with him. He says, "I've come into my garden. Eat, oh friends. Everybody feast on John. And I say, quit picking on me. Back away, move, get out of here." But the Lord always brings a whole company with him. You know why? Because he's not only in love with me, but he's also in love with a whole bunch of other people that he's linking together for an eternal bride. And he wants us to get it together here and love each other now. Because guess what? We're going to be linked to each other, living with each other for the next quadrillion, zillion, billion times infinitum years. You see, we're only one part of his bride, one part of his body. And he's putting us together and to prepare us for eternity. So when he comes into my garden, he brings people. Oh, does he bring people? And yet that's all part of it. All part of preparation. I need to embrace his friends. That is why Jesus said, all men shall know that you are my disciples by your love for each other. If you love me, he says, then love my friends as well. Herein you show that your love for the Lord is real, by loving your brother and your sister and the people that he brings into your garden. I want you to go back this week and read through this session or this section again. There's so much more that we could share. It's pregnant with meaning. The whole book is pregnant with so many pictures. My wife, Tammy, is pregnant presently. About 6.5 months, and she's pretty big. In fact, she's a lot bigger this time than she was with Mary Elizabeth. And she and Jesse were walking in the house the other day. Having come back from the grocery store, Tammy's arms were loaded, and pardon me, Christy. And Christy's arms were loaded as well. Christy's 7 years old. And Tammy dropped something, and she then kind of reached down to pick it up. And Christy, my 7-year-old daughter, said, "No, Mommy, don't stoop down and lift it up. Your stomach will burst." Christy was aware of Tammy's pregnancy, and I'm telling you the truth, if you'll stoop down and take a look at this book this week, prayerfully, mystically, spiritually, personally, romantically, man, you'll burst. You'll burst with blessing when you realize that Jesus is in love with you, that you were created for him, that he wants to come in and enjoy your life and bring his friends. The Lord loves you, gang. He loves you. He's not saying, get it together or do better. He's saying, I am in love with you. What a glorious truth that is. Let's bow our heads. I know, Father, that there are perhaps many who are feeling the winds of adversity in their lives right now. May they not reject nor react against those winds. Those that are going through trials, may they realize that your fragrance now is flowing through them to an unbelieving lost world. Those, Father, that don't feel those feelings of love the way that perhaps they have previously, may they embrace it with maturity and take hold of this opportunity to minister to you and worship you, Jesus, and give to you and break the alabaster box of adoration and praise upon you. Oh Lord, may your wind blow through this garden, that your fragrance flow forth. Lord, I pray for those that see themselves as black, but don't understand that in your sight, because of your grace, they are comely. Lord, may revelation explode in the inner man of those individuals. And may this be a week when they see themselves as beautiful because of their position in Christ Jesus, robed in his righteousness, cleansed with His blood. Father, for those that feel invaded by people, by problems, may they embrace that is coming from You. Yea, Lord, even Your friends. And allow that work to take place in those lives where they could learn more about loving and giving and sharing. And finally, Father, most of all, I pray that we as a church might increasingly live to be Your garden, a place where You are pleased. How I pray that You would enjoy being with us as we gather together corporately. Where You would leave, as it were, with a smile on Your face, Lord Jesus, delighted, pleased. And not just corporately, but as individuals, may You find within us, Lord, fruitfulness. May we not be barren trees, but fruitful people for Your pleasure. We acknowledge we were created to give You pleasure, Lord. We bless You now and honor You and love You and adore You in this congregation, in this holy convocation. You are beautiful to us, the love of our lives, the essence of our being, Lord. You are our hero, our bridegroom, our leader, our love. We bless You, Jesus. Everything we have need of and desire is in You, Lord. And the more we know You, the more we do so love You. Hallelujah. And so may the Lord this day bless you as you realize how blessed you are in Christ Jesus.